Bob Dylan almost wrote a song about the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The roadside vegetable stand of Medicare podcasts. It's a dog-eat-dog world and he wears milk-bone underwear. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. I couldn't be happier to have you joining us today. I'm hoping to share a lot of interesting Medicare news. But another way I can share some Medicare news and information with you is by asking you to consider buying my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. You can find it at barnesandnoble.com and you can find it at amazon.com. Just go to either of those websites, put in the search window, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. The orange numbers will pop up showing that you've got the current edition of the book. Don't buy the old edition. That's not going to do you any good. Anyway, then you will have your option, especially at Amazon, you'll have an option of buying several different types of books. They're priced to please the average budget, from the $8 paperback to the less than $4 Kindle ebook, all the way up to the $6 and change Audible book, all the way up to the $22 hardcover version. That is the crown jewel in the collection of Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. Anyway, you will be you'll be given your choice. You'll be able to choose the edition of the book that best fits your needs and your budget, and whatever edition you decide to get, you're going to be pleased with the contents, because what I'm told by other readers, Medicare for the Lazy Man does a good job of explaining Medicare to the layman, as opposed to the U.S. government that created Medicare. They don't do a very good job of explaining Medicare. So if you need to have Medicare explained to you, and if you need to know what errors to avoid, what to stay away from in your entry into the world of Medicare, then buy my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023, and I think you will be well served by it. A person that we're all well served by is my associate, Randy Carson. Randy Carson, how the heck are you doing today?
I am doing just swimmingly today.
I couldn't.
I wish the internet was, but you know, we're having a bit of struggle.
I thought all that garbled speech from you was basically your imperfect brain function, but apparently not. It's the fault of the internet.
It could be. I would just like to point out for people that we're going to have to throw another log on the internet because it's giving us a bit of trouble today.
Well, I can see what color the signal strength indicator is, and it right now it's a beautiful shade of white. And so if it stays that way long enough, we can plow through another episode, and the audience will be properly served. We don't want to give them an inferior product. At least I don't. I haven't asked anybody else, but I'm inclined to think that if we forge ahead right now, then we might actually be able to get through this thing until and not have any serious problems until the next time it decides to weaken its signal. So let me make the big announcement that I had planned for the beginning of this episode. The world is coming to... Oh, no, that's not it. The announcement I had in mind was the Surgeon General has declared the next big public health threat. That threat is coming at us like a freight train, ladies and gentlemen. We are due to be smashed by this horrible, horrible public health threat. The name of this public health threat that's going to be an onslaught of illness and misery for the population, the name of it is loneliness. So right now we are being warned that loneliness is the next big thing that the public health authorities are going to be spending your tax dollars on. So watch out for that. I have many articles here that are warning us that the Surgeon General is preparing to declare an emergency because of loneliness. One article is saying that warning that loneliness poses a similar level of danger to physical and mental health as does smoking or obesity. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy issued an advisory on Tuesday stressing the importance of building back the social fabric of the United States. Nearly half of the nation was estimated to be lonely even before the isolation of the panic. That's the COVID panic, for those of you that are keeping score on how many emergency situations the Surgeon General has to deal with. Nearly half of the nation was estimated to be lonely. Well, they should all get married. I'll tell you right now, marriage will cure that problem for you. Here's the AP. The Associated Press says loneliness poses risks as deadly as smoking, and they're quoting the Surgeon General. Widespread loneliness in the U.S. poses health risks as deadly as smoking a dozen cigarettes daily. And then later they amended that statement to say that it poses risks as deadly as smoking 15 cigarettes a day, costing the health industry billions and billions of dollars annually. That's the U.S. Surgeon General once again. About half of U.S. adults say they've experienced loneliness. So what are we supposed to do? Go over there and entertain them? Hire a million people? Well, we've already hired 84,000 IRS agents, given them pistol training and armed them so that they can go extract your tax money. Now, what are they going to spend that additional tax money on? They're going to hire a bunch of people and buy decks of cards, I'm guessing, and then send them out knocking on doors, asking those who are lonely to let them in to play gin rummy or some other card game, I'm guessing. That's going to be the solution to the loneliness problem that half of the nation has admitted that it has. Loneliness, it's a feeling the body sends us when something we need for survival is missing. That's the Surgeon General. It's like hunger or thirst. Millions of people in America are struggling in the shadows, and that's not right. That's why I issued this advisory to pull back the curtain on a struggle that too many people are experiencing. ABC News has a report on the same subject. Their headline is "The U.S. Surgeon General Calls for Action Regarding the Ongoing Epidemic of Loneliness and Isolation." The report cites recent research showing that that approximately half of U.S. adults experienced loneliness daily, even before the onset of the COVID-19 panic. According to the report, insufficient social connection has also been linked to an increased risk of heart disease, stroke, anxiety, depression, and dementia. Additionally, loneliness was reported among the primary motivations for self-harm, according to a systemic review cited in the advisory. Surgeon General's guest essay in the New York Times, "We have become a lonely nation. It's time to fix that." Why, this guy, I'll tell you right now, he has thought of a method of spending tax money that nobody can ever argue with because it has such horrible consequences for the people who are lonely. And how can you tell when it's finished? It will never be finished. This is an excuse to extract tax money and spend it wastefully far into the future. This will never be solved. This horrible health crisis, I predict, is never, ever going to be solved. It's just going to be continuing to be. They're going to toot their horns about it, declare it worse than the year before, and they will continue to fight this horrible, the consequences of loneliness until their dying days or until their retiring days. You know, like Fauci. Fauci retired. He won't go away. I don't know if this Surgeon General is going to go away when he retires, but he's a genius. He has figured out a way to make himself sound like the person that's going to save mankind and the United States population from the whole epidemic of loneliness and isolation. Let's see. The U.S. Surgeon General released an advisory on Tuesday calling attention to the public health crisis of loneliness and isolation and lack of connection. So we've got three things now: loneliness, isolation, and lack of connection. The report cites research showing that approximately half of U.S. adults experience loneliness daily, even before the onset of the panic. It highlights that a lack of social connection can present significant health risks, as loneliness can increase the risk of premature death by 26% and social isolation by 29%, according to a meta-analysis cited in the advisory. According to the report, insufficient social connection has also been linked to an increased risk of heart disease, stroke, anxiety, depression, and dementia. Additionally, loneliness was reported among the primary motivations for self-harm. The U.S. Surgeon General, during a virtual meeting with, during a virtual meeting with guess who, with President Joe Biden and baby formula manufacturers in the Eisenhower Executive Office Building in Washington on June 1st of 2022. So what took them almost a year to come out with this? Given the profound consequences of loneliness and isolation, we have an opportunity, an obligation, to make the same investments in addressing social connection that we have made in addressing tobacco use, obesity, and the addiction crisis, the Surgeon General said. I don't even know if that's a he or a she, to tell you the truth. Is that the guy, is the Surgeon General that guy that's dressed up like a woman?
I don't know for sure, but it wouldn't surprise me.
There's some guy in the cabinet that is a dude who looks like a lady, and I think, and he calls himself like a naval officer.
Oh, that's a song, isn't it? Dude looks like a lady.
We could sing the song, right? That's exactly right. It was a song back in the 80s, I think. And this particular dude is a naval officer, and I think the Surgeon General is always a naval officer, and so. I don't know who made him a naval officer, but he is now. Oh, I think I do know Uncle Joe Cosette. So I continue with the article here. Social connection can reduce the health risks associated with isolation and loneliness. One study found that frequently confiding in others is associated with up to 15% reduced odds of developing depression among people who are at higher risk due to a history of traumatic or adverse life experiences. Boy, how are you ever going to fix this? It's unfixable, Randy. I don't think it's possible for any amount of money, even if we extract all the tax money from everybody who has a job in the United States and spend it on this horrible, horrible epidemic. I don't think we're going to be able to fix it. The advisory that the Surgeon General laid out shows a framework for a national strategy to advance social connection, which provides recommendations for individuals, governments, workplaces, health systems, and community organizations that aim to increase social connection and improve overall health. This type of strategy has never been implemented before in the United States. Oh, I think that might not be true. These recommendations include infrastructure changes such as developing parks and libraries. See, we already have a bunch of parks and libraries. Parks and libraries that enhance social connection, policy changes allowing for paid family leave. There it is. Let's buy some votes, Democrats. Let's arrange for paid family leave. Let's enhance our lack of productivity even more. Let's see, accessible public transportation and more research to efficiently address social isolation. Yes, let's do more research. Let's give more money to college professors who are already unable to be fired. You cannot do anything to these people, and they will just give their lefty propaganda to you, which will wind up in print form, such as the print that I'm reading right now. The framework also includes training for healthcare providers to allow for intervention if a patient is at risk for loneliness. You don't even have to be lonely. If you're at risk for loneliness, that's all it takes. Let's start raining money down on that person and get them fixed. Let's see here. It also notes that digital environments should be further evaluated, particularly how online interactions can potentially hinder meaningful connections. Lastly, the recommendations call for the cultivation of a culture of connection, stating that the informal interactions of everyday life can significantly influence social connection. By taking small steps every day to strengthen our relationships, we can rise to meet this moment together, and we can ensure our country and the world are better poised than ever to take on the challenges that lay ahead. You know what would fix this, Randy? I know what would fix it. I'm thinking back to 1941 when the Japanese threw a little party out in Hawaii, and frankly, Pearl Harbor, I believe, was the location of their soiree, and that snapped the country out of whatever stupidity they were in, wallowing in at that point. I'm thinking that's what we need. We need another national crisis that will cause the United States to have to go to war and defend itself. My concern, though, is given the current leadership, they may decide just to wave the white flag and surrender. And it's cheaper probably to make a bunch of white flags that you can show to your enemies and then create a foreign language course in whatever the language of whatever enemy is has conquered us. I'm afraid that that is what our current leadership is probably going to decide instead of mobilization to combat our threats from external powers. Let's see, instead of feeling like a burden, sharing a common struggle typically brings people together. Well, that's what I just described, and strengthens the existing relationship. Here's another article. Loneliness poses risks as deadly as smoking, according to the current general. Widespread loneliness in the U.S. poses risks as deadly as smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day, costing the health industry billions of dollars annually. This is nothing new. You've heard me read words to this effect earlier in this podcast episode. Half of U.S. adults say they've experienced loneliness. Everybody has experienced loneliness. I think this is a flawed study because 100% of adults have probably experienced loneliness. We now know that loneliness is a common feeling that many people experience. It's like hunger or thirst, and I read that to you earlier. I'm not getting anything new from this series of articles. Four lawmakers here, this is new. Four lawmakers share their mental health struggles, and they say it's a form of public service. In an emotional sit-down, these four lawmakers talk about their stigma and their solutions. Members of Congress speak out about struggles with mental health. Now, let me ask if you've had any thought as to what party these congressmen might belong to. Well, I had a thought, and so I went and confirmed it, and it turns out that I was right. These four lawmakers, one from Minnesota, one from Massachusetts, one from Arizona, and one from New York, they're all Democrats, and they're supporting the Surgeon General's attack on loneliness and isolation and lack of connectedness. And they're describing their battles, their mental health battles, ranging from clinical depression to post-traumatic stress. Frankly, I am skeptical. Color me skeptical. There's a long article about these four congressmen, but I believe that they're self-serving. Somebody has told them that the Surgeon General's position on loneliness needs support. And so these are the best that they were able to dredge up, four Democrat congressmen. Mental health's history of political damage. Has it changed? This is another little article. In July 1972, Democratic presidential nominee George McGovern, his running mate, I remember this, I was paying attention at the time, Missouri Senator Thomas Eagleton told journalists he had previously undergone electroshock therapy and psychiatric care for exhaustion and depression. Though McGovern pledged to support Eagleton, he was forced off the ticket just over 2 weeks later. It was one of the first times in modern history that a major political figure experienced fallout from revealing their mental health battles. In the 51 years since the Eagleton experience, each of the four members of Congress that we just referred to acknowledged strides have been made around mental health and politics, even as recent as earlier in their own careers. Okay, so these people are going to sit around feeling sorry for themselves in order to help the Surgeon General look like a genius when he says that we're suffering a malaise, an onslaught by loneliness and lack of connectedness. The final part of this article, what's been done and what is still to do? President Joey Boy Biden included a number of mental health provisions in his most recent budget proposal, which is unlikely to gain traction in the currently divided Congress. Boy, dodged a bullet there. Legislators did, however, increase funding for mental health resources as part of the 2023 omnibus spending package passed in January. That law bolstered money for virtual peer support and expanded mental health services in schools, substance use health support, and maternal mental health care, among other things. So, okay, as long as these guys are in charge of the national purse strings, I'm not optimistic that we're going to have a better, smarter way of spending our resources on some of these public health initiatives. But I don't know. What do I know, Randy? I probably don't know anything.
I just had a couple thoughts.
Yes, sir.
First of all, I am absolutely beside myself that the Surgeon General doesn't have anything better to do. But having said that, it actually raised a couple thoughts in my head. There's an old expression back in the Midwest where I'm from: you can't fix ugly, and you can't fix stupid. Okay,
well, there you go.
I don't think you can fix loneliness either.
I don't think so either. I think they said that 50% of the people suffer this loneliness, this epidemic of loneliness. And then in a different part of the same description, they said that everybody has experienced it at one time or another. Well, that's the more accurate statement. Every once in a while, somebody's going to be lonely. Even me, the most self-centered guy I know, has experienced loneliness. It comes and it goes, and I don't need a whole National Institute of Health onslaught to solve my loneliness. I don't need some whack job showing up with a deck of cards or a board game to keep me company.
Well, let me ask you another question. The title of this article that you were sharing with us, Doug, the Surgeon General's big breakthrough in terms of what he's discovered.
Uh-huh.
Was the title on the article, duh?
Yeah. Well, it had little cartoon characters laughing their little tushies off. So I'm pretty sure that it was meant to be a sarcastic indication of what the Surgeon General does every day.
Well, if this is what he comes up with, I'm not sure he's focused on the right things, Doug.
I'm pretty sure he's not focused on the right things. I guess Uncle Joe probably said, hey, go find a problem that we can spend a ton of money on, because I'm about to tax the crap out of the American people. You got to help me spend it. And so that's what's happening. Yeah. The Surgeon General came up with a genius of a plan to help spend tax money. Actually, might as well just drag it out in the field in bags and set it on fire, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, yeah, it'd be a lot less work, because then he wouldn't need all the bureaucracy around it to, monitor it. Just take it out in the middle of Nebraska and let's have a big bonfire.
There you go. And then we'll worry about the global warming consequences later on.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Well, that was an interesting article, Doug. I must say, I didn't know that we were declared to be a lonely world.
Oh,
country.
You're going to be hearing about this over and over again.
Doug, I think the Democrats are going to be real lonely at the next election.
That is my plan. If I can help that happen, I will be doing just that. Because, frankly, if that's the best they can come up with to improve life in America, then I don't think I want them anywhere near the halls of power.
I think the next one they're coming up with, flat feet. You know, there's a lot of people in the United States with flat feet. Let's see if we can do something about that.
Well, that did used to be a big deal, Randy. They would not take anybody with flat feet into the Army. I wondered whether my feet were flat or not. When I was a little kid, my world famous godfather, who was given in his obituary, was given the name the father of sports medicine. He came up to our house in Illinois and he put all of our feet in plaster casts, and then he created inserts for our tennis shoes to support our arches so that we would not have flat feet. And of course, I told you about my friend Seamus Carney and I going through our Army induction physical together. And Seamus, they threw right out of there because of his giant, you know, size 15 clodhoppers with bones and stuff sticking out all over him. They were flat as pancakes. And he couldn't have been happier. Well, more recently, I've read that it turns out guys with flat feet can actually sustain fewer injuries in combat, and that flat feet are not the negative that they used to be thought of as for a soldier in combat. So they've been wrong about flat feet all these years.
I'm just surprised that the government has been wrong before. I'm just shocked.
But this tells us to keep our eyes peeled for the next time they're wrong, because it's only going to be problematic for the rest of us.
You know something? We have used up our 75 cents and we're closing in on 87 cents. So we need to land the plane, bring the bus into the depot, or the train to the platform. But before we do that, let's go ahead. We've already talked about a lot of things, but there's a couple things I always want to mention. One is that Doug Jones is a licensed agent nationwide. You may not know that, or you may know that, but either way, he's there to help you no matter where you live, including the DC area. So the other thing I'd like you to do is write Doug a letter. He loves getting in, you know, loves getting email. He just runs down to the mailbox every day, every morning with a smile on his face, like he's going to get a decoder ring or something. dbj@mlmmailbag.com. Check out the website at medicareforthelazyman.com. We talked about the books. We talked about the audio. We talked about the Kindle. But we didn't talk about you can help us out in the rating wars by finding a place to give us 5 stars. We would love it on the book and the podcast. But having said all that, you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy originally from Oklahoma. No more. He lives in the high altitudes behind Cave Creek, Arizona, in his fortress of solitude. And I think today we're going to put it in at about 12,500 feet altitude. But he's also got the stealth mode turned on today, so you can't see it.
Well, I'll tell you something. We just got a letter from one of our loyal listeners. This is Steve in Texas, who wants to see a copy of Roy's video about shoulder replacements. So we're going to have to figure out how to get a hold of that video and send it off to Steve. So, Steve, it's coming your way. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk next time.